Metal Cough!
AB!
Here we go! Podcast coming at you, recorded on this Tuesday afternoon. Week 2 of the NFL preseason ahead. Live on YouTube, streaming as always, and on the podcast, on your time, because you control time. That's the beauty of podcasts. It's why podcasts are winning. You listen to them whenever you want, and we're glad you're listening to this one right now.
Thanks for coming. Whether you're listening on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Thursday afternoon, hell, maybe you push it into Friday. Maybe you're watching this on the tube. Or if you subscribe to our Facebook page, they automatically load it up and it you can just listen to it. It's kind of got this cool little app. I'm not even just saying that. It is kind of cool. Have you seen that thing? You just press
I've just seen that button. You can auto-load. I haven't checked it on the phone. I've only checked it on the desktop. Is it on the phone? It looks like a different app.
Yeah, it's just one of your posts, but you literally can just play it. It's pretty cool.
Man. All right. Well, go to our Facebook page. It is linked down in the description of the YouTube and in the iTunes. And leave us a mailbag question there in the messenger or on the mailbag post, which will be going up. We also ask primarily that you leave us a iTunes review. That's how you get in the mailbag, John. iTunes review. Leave us a question in that review. Tell us your favorite bar to hang at. And we'll get to that coming up in the mailbag podcast at the end of the week.
Yep. So I know we've got actually a lot of people tweeting at us that they're just drinking in the middle of the day. I like that because a saying goes, you can't drink them all if you don't start early. So you got to get rocking and rolling. We've had people from out of state that have never tried Tito's, and we're great brand ambassadors out of state as well as in state.
I mean, how about that? We had somebody who's from Virginia to San Antonio or San Antonio to Virginia trying Tito's. Tito's was a featured drink on this bar where they were at. So Tito's got themselves at the top of the menu there. Shout out to the local division manager of Tito's San Antonio for that move.
I'd imagine Tito's does pretty well in the great state of Texas. Don't you imagine? He's got some connects.
Yep. I would think so too.
Yeah. I'd imagine Tito's.
I think they do well in all the states, John.
Well, definitely. But
the lower 48 bet, plus Alaska and Hawaii.
You know, if Tito and Jerry probably on a texting basis, or at least have each other's, numbers. Because family in the beer business, I know that Jerry's very close with, the people that matter. So and Tito, as we know, matters.
Tito matters. There's no doubt. This podcast is presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, where I debuted it on Sunday night. The drink of the week here for Haberman and Middlecoff, the Tito's Transfusion, John. Now, John, you gave me a good tip the other day because I had the transfusion and I loved it. It was a little sweet. And you noted, you went back to the tape. You're a scout. You said, I watched you pour that drink and you put in way too much grape juice. You should have put an ounce. You're right. So 2 ounces of Tito's Handmade Vodka, 2 ounces of ginger ale, 1 ounce of grape juice. And I cannot emphasize this enough, John. Keep it to 1 ounce of grape juice. And half an ounce of lime juice. This drink, put it on ice. It's delicious.
I think the key as you age, you actually need less of whatever the sugary addition is. And you become, especially with Tito's, there can't be a smoother vodka in the history of vodkas ever made. It's naturally very smooth. Obviously gluten-free. Made in copper pots. But I'm telling
six
you.
Six times distilled.
That Tito's soda goes so smoothly, but sometimes you just want a little lemonade or a little grape juice. You just don't need that much just to add that extra little oomph. Mm-hmm. But like you said, the transfusion, fantastic drink. And it's, we're into the PGA Tour playoffs, PGA Tour and Tito's. Doesn't that just sound like it goes together pretty well?
It does.
So get ready. I saw Phil, nothing like golfers who they all just take private jets to their events. They're like NFL owners, like the NFL owners meetings is like a bunch of private jets. I think definitely the top 30 at the, what's it called? The Tour Championship where they play in Atlanta. Haberman was there, called Tiger Woods victory. No big deal. What's that course called? Yeah. Do you remember?
Yes. I mean, no, obviously. Why is that coming to me?
Whatever that place is called. I bet all 30 players take a private jet to attend. It must be
East Lake.
Yeah.
East Lake.
I think they're playing Liberty National this week. I think we got a DraftKings game going as well.
We have a DraftKings game. It's actually full, but we'll talk about that a little later on. I'm putting on YouTube the tweet we got from Scott. Here's the drink. He got the Tito's Cherry Limeade. And at the bottom, you see a portion of proceeds benefit the Atticus Legacy Dog Rescue. Tito's is all about it's all about the dogs, John. Vodka for dog people. Vodka for dog people. So it's not just about the drink. It's also about the charity, and it's very much about the dogs. I love that that's on the menu, though, at this particular – I don't know what restaurant that was, but we're big fans of Tito's. Distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas. 40% alcohol by volume, namely 80 proof. Crafted to be savored responsibly. We dare you not to love it. All right.
Yeah. Might make cocktail when we finish. Sounds fantastic.
You going to do the transfusion? I know the next pod – The weekend pods, I know, will always have a transfusion because they'll be late, you know, an evening pod. But
yeah,
it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Actually, it's 5 o'clock in the East Coast right now
as we record
this podcast.
So. It is.
All right, John, let's dive into a few things. We'll get to a lot of YouTube comments as well as we continue on the day. But the Niners on Tuesday had their last practice in Santa Clara. They're off to L.A. to take on the Los Angeles Chargers. And it feels like, to me, I think a big week for Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. This is still not a competition, but it's an opportunity against what should be a pretty good defense, I think, this year. And first and foremost, it's an opportunity against a different team.
It's starting to feel like it's going to be a difficult uphill climb for the young whippersnapper in Trey Lance.
It feels right now like a 55... Sorry, let me go back the other way. It feels right now like an 80-20, maybe 85-15 Jimmy Garoppolo at this point.
Yeah, it felt like the preseason game went well for Jimmy in the sense that he made some poor mistakes. So it's an easy one for a coach to chalk up like, he's young, he needs some work, and he does. And as Mike McDaniel said a couple weeks ago, I watch a lot of coaching press conferences. I've never heard a coach say this, even though I know they're all thinking this. Like, we hope he kind of struggles so we can coach him through. Like, we want good and the bad. And then when Kyle was asked, I don't even know if he knew Mike said that. He's like, we want him to do bad too. It's kind of weird, even though that's how you talk. You wouldn't want everything to go perfect. But I do think that helped Jimmy. And I think right now, this week could be huge, though. Like, you go up against big boy players, Bosa, Derwin James. I think the vibe and the environment there is going to be pretty raucous. It's going to be really intense. So if Trey struggles, honestly, it could set him back even more just from the sense of he's playing. Like week one, if he doesn't start, which right now he would not, what would you set his over-under at? 7 plays?
That feels a little high, but yeah, I was going to say like 4.5. Like I could see him getting 5-6 snaps. 8 plays could be a lot, right? Depending on just how many possessions there are. But, you know, you never know. It's the Lions. You could be up by 21 points. But I don't know if that's the spot to use him, right? I don't envision him up 21 coming into the game. I envision him scoreless game, like second drive, 3rd and 3.
Yeah, and I could see if they were up big in like the second half, going into the fourth quarter up 4 touchdowns, just letting him finish the game. Could you see that?
Yeah, why not? I mean, that's where that guy should play, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I think you could kind of do double whammy. We've all watched just a lot of the Saints over the years. When they usually bring Taysom in, he does get a couple plays. Like, to me, typically when they yank Breeze out, he would get multiple plays. That's how I kind of envision them doing. Now, would they give him like a series? I don't think that's inconceivable that he just starts on first and 10, they run him out there. Because usually with Taysom Hill, he comes in like 2nd and 2, and then maybe they'll give him the next play. I guess Kyle would have the curveball of doing whatever he wanted, but it does feel like the quarterback, quote-unquote, competition, which he never really said that, is coming to a halt. Unless this week, and again, like, there's still 3 more weeks of training camp. You're getting a joint practice. This is just a big week for Trey Lance. And Jimmy really just has to just keep doing what he's doing.
I view this as the week that Trey Lance has to make a move if he's going to have a shot. Because then there's one more preseason game. So if he's going to have any chance of... Remember, it has to be a competition before it can even be him, the starter. Right? It has to be him. So he's got to play his way into getting more first-team reps, which would come the following week if he could make a move this week. So I think this is the week that Trey Lance kind of makes, or if he's gonna do it by week one, it has to happen starting Thursday against the Chargers, because he's got to get the opportunity then the next week to force his way into more first-team reps before the final preseason game.
Well, that preseason game, the 3rd game, Kyle claimed that his starters are going to play a half. So does he move Trey in that game? Like,
as he would in a regular game? Like, does he just come in the third series to play a couple plays, or does Jimmy just get the whole thing? That to me will be fascinating to watch. Sneaky could be pretty unreal if the Raiders and Niners both play their starters for a half. Like, we get half a real game. That'd be fun. I got that bad boy marked on my calendar.
Does it feel like Jimmy would really play that much? It feels to me like a Mahomes situation where, like, starters are going to play a half, and then you look over and Mahomes has the visor on after one series.
Yeah, why would he say that, though? I don't know. Yeah, I think it was more Andy, you know, the preseason, first preseason game, it was so meaningless. The Niners aren't playing anyone. It's like, what are we doing this for? But if the other team's playing your starters and you have it in your mind to play your starters, I think you leave them out there. Now, I haven't seen Gruden. You know, Gruden didn't play anybody. Maybe they won't play Derek Carr at all. I do think it's difficult to justify playing your guys, even if you say it, when you're fucking playing these teams that they're all on the sideline. You're like, what are we proving here? You know, and Johnny Tryhard, as McCarthy would say, is coming around the edge. Like, I'm not doing this.
But it's like, I don't want him out there with Joey Bosa out there, and I don't want him out there without Joey Bosa out there. I mean, Joey, not Nick. I'm talking Joey, right? If you're Garoppolo, you need to be out there for four series.
Well, do you expect
the Raiders?
Brandon Staley just played nobody. Do you think they're going to play anyone this week? I would guess no.
No, this is why you told me, I didn't hear this comment, but that Kyle Shanahan said in some ways the scrimmages are more important than, or more valuable than the games.
Well, they definitely are, right, if they're not going to play their starters, even if you plan on it, right? Like, we want to give our guys a quarter. Well, Bosa, Derwin James, Kenneth Murray, all their starters, Justin Herbert, wrong Pac-12 quarterback, for sure. Why am I going to play my guy? I think that does have a major impact in these preseason games. It's why someone DM'd me. They're like, if you were trying to make a team, would you rather, if you were a fringe guy, would you rather play for a team that you only got reps in practice, they didn't really play in the game, or would you rather be hit or miss in practice but get a lot of reps in the game? I'd say if I was a fringe guy, I would much rather play multiple games because all 31 teams are evaluating me. The practice, so much of it's out of your control, a numbers game. Even if you're playing well, it's easy for them to justify cutting someone. Where when you play well in a game, it is going to be hard for these other teams not to see you. Yeah. Where I think where these teams now that are benching their quote-unquote starters, I think it's less about the worry of schematic stuff. I think it's just strictly injury, don't you? Like, I don't think they're afraid to show anything. It's just like, we are not risking Matt Stafford or Devontae Adams or Joey Bosa, no chance someone's stepping on his foot the wrong way. And that, like, fuck that.
Yep.
Then, like, you know, I don't want to see this new twist concept we have, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the practices have gotten just less valuable, right? The reward it's gotten to a point it's not worth the risk at all. The risk has gotten bigger, but the reward has also gotten lower.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's... I think what we've got from a Shanahan standpoint is he just has a luxury, and Trey Lance is going to have to force him not to take advantage of the luxury, which is I don't have to start Trey Lance, right? In the way that the Jets have to start Zach Wilson. But yeah. They just don't have to. So they're going to make him take it. And he had some, I thought he did some things that looked pretty impressive in the game. You could play him, right? Like you could. You could play Trey Lance right now and have a shot to win, I believe. But
100%.
Like, that's not the question here. The question is, can he take it from Jimmy? And this is, I go back, I'll repeat it again. I think Kyle Shanahan is willing to let Trey Lance do that, but he's got to go do it. And he's got to kind of bang him over the head with it. And now, again, if he plays really, if he does some things against the Chargers this week, that'll count. Like, this counts as banging you over the head with it. If he does things well and Jimmy Garoppolo struggles this week.
Yeah, I mean, listen, my stance is going to be consistent this whole time. I'm not going to budge off that I would start him because that's just my overwhelming philosophy with young elite talents. I mean, it's pretty clear that I think Mac Jones might end up beating out Cam. Justin Fields, they're just rigging the game. Like, he easily could beat him out. And the other two guys are starting just because it's so much easier by the middle of the season when that guy has a group, you know, basically a handful of games, 3 games, 7 games, 10 games, whatever to rely on to go, that's what I need to work on. That's what I've seen here. That's what needs to happen here. When you first get thrown out there, it's no different than any walk of life. The first time you get a job that has a lot of pressure, that's really intense, those first weeks, those first maybe month can feel overwhelming. And then we all know, looking back, like once we've been in a place 6 months, your feet are on the desk, you're like, know exactly where to get lunch. It just becomes much more normal protocol. And we're talking about the NFL playing fucking quarterback. It is just in a weird way, easier is the wrong word, but you can just be more comfortable. Eventually, he's going to have to start his first game. He just is, right? And if that has to happen year two, even if they have a really good season, let's say win a couple of playoff games, listen, you and me won't be complaining. It'll be great for our fucking business. Jimmy starts all the games. They win a bunch of games. They go to the playoffs. Like, that's fine. But from a football standpoint, in a vacuum, an underrated part about Patrick Mahomes is he did get a full game rep. I mean, legitimately a full game against the Broncos, and they tried. So what? He did start year two, but he did have a full game. Oh, I'm talking about Mahomes, you know, sitting out that year.
You're talking about his week 17 game? Is that what you're talking about?
And they were already going to the playoffs. And remember, Andy said that I told Nagy, and I think Doug was gone, but whoever, Childress, you guys start working on the Titans, and me and Mahomes are just going to treat this thing like a regular game. And we did. He's like, you know, I got a lot more comfortable with them. Now, they had gone, I would say, that situation gets brought up all the time. They were dead set. Like, in concrete, they weren't going to budge. Right off Alex Smith. And then he had a great year.
Yeah, I mean, so Alex made it. Alex, you know, played a full season too. That's not been Jimmy Garoppolo's history. They had
the other thing is Mahomes isn't necessarily like a runner, so you wouldn't bring him in for packages to run like you would Trey Lance. So he was never
which
play
also
like
was not part of the resume in the preseason game.
But you could ask the question, and we'll never know, like, what if he had started year one? Would they have been better by the end of the year? Right, they did lose in the first round to Mariota.
Yeah,
Mariota
beat them. Could they have won that game? Now, maybe they, you know, maybe you go by the end of the year, they could have won that playoff game, but maybe they lose a few games along the way during the regular season that, you know, their record is not what it was at the end of that year.
There's a give and take with everything.
Here's what I know about the Niners: they cannot lose to the Lions week one, and they cannot lose to the Eagles week two.
I actually think the Eagles are a little better than I think people assume. Just their talent on their team. Just talking to people with the organization. Their lines are good. They feel very good about their lines, offensive and defensive lines. They do have, like, listen, I don't know if Jalen Reagor is going to be a good player or not. He was drafted in the first round. He does some sweet shit on the internet. They did draft Devontae Smith, who I don't know won the Heisman, and they got two legit tight ends. And Miles Sanders was a second-round running back. Like, for a team that I think most people just think they're a five-win team, and it might be because they're quarterback, they do have a lot of just good players, you know? To me, they're on a different... I think, and I've done this too, we put them in the Lions as like equals. Like they
well, because
are
of
much
coach.
More talented than the Lions.
Right. It's because of Sirianni.
But we'll see. Like I don't.
No, I mean, I'm just saying that's the perception. Sirianni in the Dan Campbell category as like a press conference when he got introduced, that made people go, what?
He gets excited.
Doesn't mean he can't be a head coach. Like, but I'm not a fan of their quarterback situation at all.
I'm not either.
But Jalen Hurts might be a bigger problem for the Niners than Jared Goff, because everyone's a bigger problem than Jared Goff for them, right?
Yeah, Jalen can move. I've defended Dan Campbell a little bit. If you just go watch like one of his 10-minute press conferences, not one of the sound bites.
I'm rooting for him. I'm with you.
He's actually smarter than you think.
I'm with you.
I think he's a high-level guy. I do.
I agree with you, John. I'm kind of – but then I take a step back and go, are the Lions really going to go out of the box and pull this off?
Not this year. That would be terrible.
Speaking of new head coaches, check out this. So the Chargers put out a video clip because they're going to have like their own little Hard Knocks on their team website. And they put out like a little 2-minute mic'd up Brandon Staley, the head coach, meeting room. We're all about family. Like, we are about this right here. He's banging on the board. It's his Los Angeles Chargers. This is what we're about, you know. And one of the things he says while he's mic'd up is this. I told you guys, best passing offense in the league. We're going to throw this shit down the field. This is what he said during a practice. So what a great team to practice against. This guy, to do that, John, you got to throw for over 400 yards a game if you're going to lead the league in passing. Okay? That's what the Chiefs did last year. They were the only ones that did it. The Bills were at 396. That was second in the league. This guy thinks he's got an explosive offense. This guy can coach defense. If I were him and I looked around the defensive meeting room, I'd feel pretty good because they're stacked in terms of when their talent is healthy. It's incredible. I'd forgotten he probably is pretty comfortable. Like in my head, I imagined him driving down to San Diego to coach this football team, but he's not. He's in the same stadium as he was last year, right? So he's probably pretty comfortable. Same drive from the house, still comfortable.
I think the Rams are more North LA and they're South LA. I'm not a great geography with LA, but I
talking about the practice facility.
Yeah, he might have had to move.
But I'm saying the stadium, same stadium.
Yeah, the stadium.
Maybe he
moved.
Yeah. Bigger house, Rays.
Yeah, Calabasas. You know,
but nonetheless, OC like or whatever. The Niners are about to practice against this team. I don't know if you could pick a better team in the league. You know, you go, oh, I want to practice against Belichick. I think these Chargers, I bet they practice pretty hard because I bet A, they feel like they got something to prove, and their coach is trying to gas them up.
Yeah.
I think this would be one of the better teams that any team could practice against because you get Herbert. It's like taking batting practice in spring training against a guy throwing 98. You got really good players on defense. You got a coach trying to prove something. And you got players trying to prove something to their new coach. So I think practicing against the Chargers actually gives you a pretty good look, maybe a better look than most teams would.
We got to carry on the legacy of the Spanos family. When you think Spanos, you think winning and paying a premium.
Actually, no, you think dollar rent. And I actually read this Kaplan guy that writes for The Athletic, kind of did this puff piece on Dean. Now, they, you know, I was talking to Coward a couple weeks ago, and we were arguing a little bit, like, he thinks they are kind of booming right now in LA. And in the article, Dean quoted, like, I think it's, we got to give a lot of credit to this quarterback. Like, he's helped us out this last year. They have sold more season tickets this offseason than they ever had for a single season in San Diego. So there is, and it's just, and his whole point was like, obviously in Southern California, they like winners. We got this quarterback. People are comfortable with this quarterback. Like they've watched him just because people, UCLA and USC fans, well, they do keep an eye on the Pac-12, and this guy was a big fucking deal. And I think we all think he's going to be a star. To me, like in these practices, is he slicing and dicing them? Because I would imagine the defensive backs, you see Mosley hurt his hamstring, so he might not be practicing all week. It could be, listen, the 49ers do not have a guy, and in fairness, basically every team in the league do not have a guy that can cover Keenan Allen. Derwin James, when healthy, is probably one of the better just man-to-man guys. Remember, he was an all-pro as a rookie because one of his big matchups was against Gronk, and he shut him down. Like, he can cover anybody. He struggles in some of the clips they put out to cover Keenan Allen. Like, Keenan Allen might destroy them. And then they have Mike Williams, who, like, he is just an incredible contested catch wide receiver. Like, who are covering these two guys?
Well, also, don't forget, remember that guy Jalen Guyton they brought in? I don't know if they've had him for 2 years.
The guy that
stood
can fly.
Out last year.
Yeah.
He's fast. They added Jared Cook. They got Rashawn Slater. He's had a little back issue, John. He's supposed to come back on Thursday. Their first-round offensive lineman. They got Austin Eckler coming out of the backfield. Like, it just tests. The Chargers can test every part of you. Your secondary's getting tested. Your offensive line's getting tested. Your quarterbacks are getting tested. It really is a pretty good matchup from that standpoint. But you're right. It could be guys getting sliced and diced, too. It could be linemen getting beat.
Now, you should slice and dice them. Like, to me, if you are a powerhouse team, which I think most people expect this team to be. You and I have been at these practices. I feel they look pretty fucking good. They should be able to not just hang, but push them around as well.
But they got Chris Harris, they got Derwin James, and they got Asante Samuel Jr. in the second round, and they got Kenneth Murray, the first rounder last year, right?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Like, to me, I what I've been saying about the Chargers all along, if their coach doesn't need to be a star. If he's just solid, they should win 10 games. Now, we've seen this before, and I think you and I are biased, and probably a lot of people listening. I'm just inherently rooting for Justin Herbert. Like, I am not, if it does go bad, I'm not going to be the first guy jumping off the ship.
No, we love Herbert.
But we have seen young players just it not go as smoothly as we think. Like, not everyone is just like, rocket ship! And honestly, this is the Patrick Mahomes effect. It's like, oh yeah, I'll probably just MVPs, Super Bowls, that's the route you take. Like, some guys...
Josh Allen adds to that.
Look back to... But look, I mean, he's just only improved. Look at Peyton Manning. Like, it was hard. I guess Luck would have been a guy that was like every year just got better and better and the team got better. It can be difficult. Now, I think the thing with
Herbert... I mean, Manning year two was 2013-3.
Yeah, so Herbert could have less statistics this year, potentially, and their team win more games, right?
Yeah, I mean, part of it last year was you're behind.
I guess there's an extra game.
If you've got a lead, maybe you can run the ball a little bit more.
But right? remember Richard Sherman when he got hurt and he tweeted like, Jesus Christ, this guy just throws the ball down the field. Like, he was just at home watching the games.
Yeah.
He was throwing the ball down the field.
He played with Russ.
in the second quarter. Like, they were bombs away. Remember the Tampa Bay game? They were kicking their ass for a minute, and Herbert's just bombs away on Tampa. It wasn't just at the end of the games throwing. I think we all assume that he's just going to be not all assume, because there are always going to be haters. Haters, you know, they're loud.
Haters in the building.
I'm rooting for him to be fucking awesome. And if he is, they're going to be really good.
He's such a hard guy to hate. I'll say that for him. But it's just, if their offense can even get even close to what... Here's the thing. When their coach says, when Brandon Staley says they want to be the number one offense, passing offense in the league, they were like ninth last year. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They were ninth last year, 382. And the difference between ninth and fifth was 7 yards a game. So they were not far off from being a top five passing offense in the league last year.
Is that statistic a little skewed?
The Titans, the Vikings, the Packers. Yards per game?
It was all good teams then. I mean, the Vikings were an outlier.
But you watch the Vikings. They're throwing the ball all over the place.
Yeah, their offense was elite. So I guess my point would be all the top teams were elite offenses, right?
Packers, Cardinals, Bucks, Raiders, Chargers. That was the next group. So now the Rams will be up there a little bit this year. Like, the Rams are going to go up from where they were last year. They were 12th.
What were the Niners?
Passing yards per game. I don't know. It looks like middle. Maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. ESPN.com. If you could for the love of God, put the ranks
ESPN.
Next to the teams.
Like, Jesus.
Why are
Christ.
We listing anything if we're not putting the rank next to the team?
I'm glad you're pissed off. I noticed that last year, and I wanted to take my laptop and throw it against the wall. Why would you not have 1 through 32?
Like, be like, it'd be like if NFL's top 100 was a list of players with no numbers next to them. You could figure out 101 very easily.
I mean, it would be as basic as, like, imagine if your just checking account didn't have dates next to your transaction. Like, it's just a basic, like, why would you not?
How much gas is in the car? I don't know. It only shows me full or empty.
I mean, you idiots. That really ticked me off.
This is the most
year.
Basic. Here's the other one they've got. If you go to ESPN's depth charts, they don't put players' numbers next to their names.
I think Our ESPN lab. Is they're slipping, guy. They are slipping. The details. The devil's in the details.
Oh my God. Anyway.
I don't even know what that means, but I've always liked that quote.
Yeah, it's a good quote. So I love that. Here's the other thing. I just love that Brandon Staley's out here, like, you know, setting the standard high, setting the expectations high, because he's putting pressure on his team because he thinks they should be good. And that's the kind of team you want to practice against.
I had a buddy that had worked with him, I guess he's been on multiple teams, so I won't give it away. And he wasn't that big of a fan, because I think sometimes as a scout, an in-house scout, when you have interactions with a newer coach, you know, Brandon Staley, he's only been in the league like 6 years. Some guys who kind of come out of nowhere, especially from college, and they've never worked in the NFL, they just start carrying themselves like they know everything. And my guy didn't like him. So I remember last year when the Rams hired him early on the season, I had fired off a couple tweets like, everyone's blowing this guy, because Lewis, everyone loved him. McVay, Fangio. My guy was like, I'm telling you, I don't see it. And I just kind of went with that. I didn't know anything about the guy, really, besides, like, Fangio really liked him, and I obviously put a lot of stock in who Vic likes. So I was like, you know, and so does my guy. My guy loves Vic. But he was like, you know, he didn't see it. And I've had to change my tune. Like, you know, I think he was wrong. Brandon Staley, pretty people speak very, very highly of him. And
yeah,
I think
it might have been a little personal.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's hard, right? I mean,
well,
we all
remember
have personal...
Lewis Riddick came on the podcast and he had met with him because of Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
A few times.
Think about this guy. Vic Fangio hired him from, like, John Carroll or wherever. Like, that's... If Vic thinks highly of you, like, that's probably sizzle. And then he goes to McVay, thought highly of him. There's no way when McVay hired him, I think we've talked about this before, he couldn't have been thinking one and done, right?
He's like, he probably thought, I've got this diamond in the rough, and I'm going to be able to... He's going to be my DC real cheap for the next 5 years because there was no competition to get him.
You know the Rams have, like, 7 new coaches? Coordinators and position coach. Think how many guys they lost. They lost a coordinator to Seattle, and he brought a guy. Staley, I think, brought a guy. McVay fired a couple
first
guys.
Year's, is Fossil, is this his first year gone, or was he gone last year, the special teams coach?
He left last year. Bones, skinny guy, talking about how he got his
snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap.
But then he got it reversed. Is that what
That's
he was saying?
Snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap.
Because she wanted another kid? What, was that it?
I didn't. I honestly fast forwarded that part because it went on way too long and was not that funny. But
I think one problem with Hard Knocks, and saying it for a while, is they just put out a trailer for tonight's episode, and it was Zeke talking about how he needed some baby powder because his balls itched. And one of the guys that covers the Cowboys, like, they really don't have much material. And it's like, well, yeah, they don't allow, once you cut out all the good stuff, like, you're not getting personnel meetings. Remember how good Hard Knocks was in the 2000s when it'd be like, you know, what do you go to the linebacker coach? What do you think of James? And he'd be like, Coach, this guy's a pussy. And it was like, oh my God. It's like, we cannot give him more snaps. And the head coach is like, decrease the snap count. What about little Billy? They're like, give him more reps.
The and best like, would be the following week after the guy who they were talking about had watched the episode.
Yeah.
And they'd flash back to the meeting.
Has that existed? It doesn't feel like for years now, getting good insight into the personnel meetings.
No.
Now it's like at best, it's like McCarthy at the head of the table, like, what do you guys think? Chicken burgers tonight for the snack for the guys? It's like, this is not how these guys talk. It's just so fake.
Yep. Now it all might as well be produced by the team, which can do some good content, but you lose the good stuff. The rub.
I wonder if they'd be better off just give us a little more Jerry. You know, because he'd be cool. Like, he'll let you film whatever he wants. Or we'll kind of Jerry'd out.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know how much he really has to add beyond what he's adding currently.
Yeah, they're not really adding anything. It's just stupid. I think the whole thing, now I'll watch every minute, but I think it's kind of dumb now.
John, here's a smart decision you can make. You can go to DraftKings and enter the promo code HAM and come play Daily Fantasy with us. In fact, you should get in the Haberman and Middlecoff DraftKings League. DraftKings, promo code HAM. The link is down in the description of the podcast or the YouTube. Our game, we've got one going this week for the first round of the FedEx Cup. It already filled up. It filled up Tuesday morning, or maybe it was Monday night it filled up. So remember that, because next week we're going to have another round two of the FedEx Cup where it gets even more heated. We'll have another DraftKings game. We'll make it a little bigger because this one filled up so fast. So right now, go to DraftKings. Use the promo code HAM when you signed up. It's the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. And when you do that, also join the Haberman and Middlecoff League. If you have any trouble finding it, just DM us. We'll get you the link. That way, you are the first to know when one of our games goes live. Right now, introducing the new Instant Win Challenge from DraftKings Wild Cards. So when you download the app, use the promo code HAM, claim your first wild card for free. There's up to $50 million worth of prizes up for grabs. It's very easy to do. Download the app. Your wild card then reveals either a weekly player challenge or instant win prizes like tickets to the Super Bowl. 1 in 4 win instantly. The more you play, the more cards you collect, and the greater your shot to win a share of up to $50 million worth of prizes. There's no better way to start the NFL season. So what do you do, John?
You go to DraftKings, and you download the app, and you type in the promo code HAM. Do it right now.
DraftKings promo code HAM, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, where we'll be playing weekly NFL games in our league as well. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
That is what we call an ad read. We also got friends at Upstart,
yes,
upstart.com/ham. Here's the thing. Some of us, we've all been there. A little underwater, over our head on some credit card debt. It can be the most nerve-wracking thing to check one of your accounts, right, and see, oh my God, I owe $20,000, I owe $30,000, whatever the amount is, I do not have that money. It happens to literally every person. Upstart is a fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan. Upstart knows you're more than just your credit score. That's why they expand access to affordable credit. Unlike other lenders, Upstart considers your income, your current employment, to find you a smarter rate for your loan. They can go up to $50,000. So you can find out using your income, using where you work, and check out how much your loan. It's free to check. Can't recommend it enough.
Upstart.com/ham. Upstart.com/ham. Loan amounts determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided on your loan application. Go to upstart.com/ham. Onward, John. Trent Williams. A little knee swelling on Monday.
Not good.
Not ideal.
Yeah, to me, this, you just put him on ice. he would not only not travel to Los Angeles.
Keep him off the plane.
Yeah, he's not going on the plane. He's not suiting up. There is no more. I guess you can practice him for the Lions game, week one. Like, it's over. There is no screwing around with this. He's too valuable. You paid him too much money. We're just not messing around.
You need him
too
much.
It's just that simple.
Yeah,
yeah. I think this is where you go kind of new school with the treatment of these players, right? And I get it would be a big deal to see him and Joey Bosa going at it. It would go viral, some of those reps. I don't give a shit. Now, I would imagine he's not traveling, so it's like this is just probably normal NFL protocol, but I would not even mess with him. Like, he's now, granted, he didn't play, right? He
did not play
swelling, and it had nothing to do with the game, right? Because he went out to practice the next day. They just sat him down because he's Trent Williams.
Right.
So
Jalen
Moore
started for him in the preseason game, but the thing that happened was he had his hip or knee clipped, was the way Shanahan said it, on Monday. Late
when
Monday.
When we were going to practice, like last week, I was listening to Shanny called into the local radio station that has the rights. And he said he used the term friendly fire a couple times. And I don't think we talk about that enough. Like, friendly fire, some of these guys get hurt, just obviously get hurt in practice, but stuff that not even a collision that was your collision. It's just another guy comes into you. There's just a lot going on. You know, when you go to these practices, these guys aren't getting tackled to the ground, but there are a lot of collisions. And when you just get to the line of scrimmage, like if you just stand at the line of scrimmage, like where we stand on the sideline, it's starters on starters. And Fred Warner's leaned over like he's, but you take a hit, but then you kind of have to stop. It is kind of weird. You know, I think there's a lot of natural falls that happen in a game that just don't necessarily happen in a practice.
It is so underrated how every play where you go live is a miracle when no one gets hurt because people are falling down around the quarterback. And I don't mean the quarterback getting hurt. Offensive linemen and defensive linemen for sure, more than anybody, because they're the ones in the close quarters. They're the biggest. And when you're not in space, not only could you step on somebody's foot, but it's hard to – it's like falling down with nothing to grab onto around you. When you're not in space, there's nowhere to bail out, right? You're falling onto someone. You're falling through somebody. There's nowhere to bail out when you're an offensive lineman because there's nowhere to put your feet, and you're big, and your feet are big. And other people's ankles are there, and other people's knees are there, and it's just, it's scary. Every time, it's scary. So, and there's contact, and it's big weight being thrown around. Like, I think that's the other underrated. You see a 300-pound guy against a 300-pound guy, and it looks like, oh, they're going 50%. It's a light day. You know, then you see Tebow try to block, and you realize it's really hard. People are really fast and really strong.
Well, do you know, remember Shaq used to get pissed off? Like, these motherfuckers are just slamming me. And it always like, well, Shaq's way bigger than him. Well, yeah, you ever had just a 6'5", 210-pound guy swipe at your arm? You think, oh, yeah, just feels like a fly, you know? And then when all the big guys starts, and he would just lose his shit. Looking back, he always felt like he kind of got a raw deal. And honestly, he was probably right. At least with linemen, like you said, it is just two linemen going at it with each other. But the pain that is inflicted by both the guys... I can't even imagine some of just the aches and pains of just normal every day. Like, you know, sometimes you're like, you know, I got a podcast today. My throat's a little itchy. You know, my head, it's not quite, I can't quite think right. Like, their thing is, you know, I got three broken fingers. I got a broken right toe. And well, I got this dude that clipped me in my thigh and I got a deep thigh bruise. That's always something that happens after games. Like, you know, we think he's going to be fine. He just has a deep thigh contusion. Do you know what a deep thigh contusion is? Did you ever, back when we were growing up, guys would stick their little knuckle out and they'd hit you in the thigh and it hurt really bad? That is basically the football equivalent of like when a running back spears you with his helmet in the thigh.
Yeah, but that one hurts. That one's harder to get rid of. That one hurts longer. Yeah. Makes your leg more purple.
Yeah,
it's a good point because it's not just about preventing injury beyond, you know, the next few weeks. It's about making sure that the thing that happened to him doesn't linger into week one. Because what do guys always say? Like, at a certain point in the year, not a soul on the football field is 100%. There's no such thing. So you can't start the year at 90%. You can't start the year at 90%. That's an underrated part of this NFL season versus, like, the baseball season, where Buster Posey was just off last year.
Yeah.
Like, NFL players, there were some college football players, some NFL players, right?
Some NFL players took
the Patriots, several guys, took last year off. But these guys all played a full season last year for the most part. So the last thing you can afford with Trent Williams when you're not, and we can get into offensive line depth, but there's no debating. There's not another Trent Williams anywhere near the offensive line. Hell, there's not many others in the NFL.
No.
You can't have that guy start at 90% because by the mid-year, you're subtract, I don't know what the percentages would be, but you subtract percentages every week anyway. So I'm with you. No reason for it.
You feel you're 100% going into the season?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what are we really talking? You know, I've got every once in a while the hip locks up or a knee gets a little sore, but, you know, what are we going to do?
No.
Was I ever 100%?
No. I feel a lot of aches and pains as I get older.
Yeah. It's just, and you feel yourself just doing the, what, isn't that a commercial? Is it one of those commercials where they're like, don't become your parents, where it's like, the guy sits down, he's like, Those commercials are good.
Yeah, well, you know what? They're very true. They are very true.
They definitely strike. All right, but it's not just him. Aaron Banks, who played their second round pick, played in the preseason game week one, hurt and wasn't very good in that game. I think four pressures and whatever number of snaps he had, not very good. Kinlaw apparently had a shoulder injury that started last week. You and I have been to several practices over the course of several weeks. Kinlaw's performances have been hard to nail down exactly, and his availability has been weird. It now makes sense when Kyle Shanahan got asked last week, why was Kinlaw like mad and off to the side? Maybe that was when he injured his shoulder. But it's, if you're concerned about the Niners' depth, if you're concerned about their offensive or defensive lines, you don't feel great when you see a guy who you thought was going to compete to be a starting guard. Clearly, that's out even before the injury. And now if Aaron Banks has a shot at it, did I say Jalen Moore? If I said Jalen Moore, no. I meant Aaron Banks. Okay. If Aaron Banks has a shot at it, he's going to be out 2 or 3 weeks. So it means he's not going to play in another preseason game in all likelihood.
Yeah, I think they're two individual kind of red flags. Start with Aaron Banks. You take a guy in the second round, he should start for you immediately. Like, if you take a second-round guard and he can't win the starting job, that's a problem.
Especially like on a line that has veterans around him, right?
Yeah, and listen, I know Kyle loves Brunskill because he can play 17 positions on the offensive line. He's not very good.
He was a tight end.
I mean, yeah, I mean, he was in the AAF. He was in the AAF. So you invested a second-round pick in this guy, and my guys in the league just didn't feel like they thought he was the worst lineman on his own team. Now, obviously, they get a bunch of guys drafted. Remember, part of it was like they traded back because the two guys they were probably going to pick either didn't they want the Washington pass rusher and I think the other Notre Dame offensive lineman, and they both went, and then I think they kind of freak, which is natural. Like, I say it all the time. I give the Raiders a lot of shit because they never do that. Like, I'm all for trading back, but then once you trade back, like, you got to have a plan of who you're going to take. A slow-footed lineman, and that's his knock from what I've been told, slow feet. Heavy feet in Kyle's scheme doesn't really work. He is a powerful guy.
You're saying that's not a zone running characteristic because you have to run.
Not at all. Is it a red flag to you that a second round guard can't win a job? And like he was not going to win the job healthy.
Yes.
No chance.
Because when you take him in the second round, I have not checked in on Liam Eichenberg, the guy that the Dolphins took that made them trade back. That everyone thought. Not I shouldn't say everyone thought, but that was the belief. That's the guy you're talking about.
He was
about.
Widely considered the better offensive lineman than Banks.
And then he got drafted. I haven't checked in on him if he's starting for the Dolphins. But on this team, knowing what their circumstances, I think we could say pretty safely, they drafted him intending for him to be their starting guard. Yeah. Which, okay, it doesn't happen. Maybe it takes a few extra weeks. Now you get hurt. Now how is it going to happen?
Like, at least Kinlaw, I will say this for him. He belong, like, you just put him on the field, like, he could just play. Like, Banks could not play. Kinlaw last year, up and down in a little bit, you could put him in the game. Like, you put Banks in the game, and you're going up against the Eagles week two, Fletcher Cox should have 3 sacks, right? And you could lose. It could just be that simple.
Yeah.
Kinlaw, to me, is like, once you go to your second year and you had like an up and down rookie season, but you've clearly flashed a lot of talent, like, I need to start seeing some fruits of this draft pick.
Right.
He'll like, be are we getting? Week.
So these are two different problems.
Yeah, to me, that's why in a vac, they are two separate issues. One guy I don't even know can play. The other guy I think can play, but like you said, kind of a head case of practice, always in fights and scuffles, which is not the worst thing. One practice, but like every day, like what are we doing here, buddy? And then now it's his knee, and then now it's his shoulder. Is he a dependable player? That's where I'd be pretty nervous with him. I actually feel pretty good about his talent, like. because at worst you just throw him out there, he can just hold a spot, right? Yeah. It's hard to move.
Yeah.
But is he going to be out there?
You're not asking him to be DeForest Buckner. You're just asking for a portion of that. And there's some question as to whether or not you're even going to get a portion of that when he's on the field.
He was the 14th overall pick.
It's an important. You know, we've just talked about it's an important year for him.
You take a guy really, really high. Like I saw Mayock was talking with the NFL Network or the NFL radio guys. He's like, you know, I think a lot of people thought Cleveland Farrell was going to be a 14 sack guy. We never envisioned him to be that. Like when you get drafted really high, you can never convince people on the outside, the fans. Like, I'm sorry, you use those high picks. And obviously, 4 is a lot higher than 14. But both those, like, I take a guy in the top. I'd even say 20. It's very fair for every fan who makes the league go round. We can't forget that, to expect the guy to be a good player. I don't need you to be an all time great, but like at least be a starter.
Isn't that what John Lynch and Adam Peters expect?
Yeah, of course. Especially when the guy that you listen, I understand you didn't quote unquote need a tackle at the time. But Worf's fucking pretty good.
James said, you think Banks would look better if he was out there with all the starters? I mean...
He was just in a one-on-one situation. Yeah, it's just smoked.
Part of the deal. You earn that. You prove that you can earn that spot. But they've wanted him to take that spot. Like, the other guy, Jalen Moore, who started at left tackle. He did get the start. Fifth rounder. Three-year starter out of Western Michigan. Maybe he'll be that guy. I mean, because fifth round, John Kittle, Greenlaw... DJ Reed, Hufanga, we'll see. Could be a good fifth round.
My draft philosophical belief, I would never mess with centers or guards high. Now, sometimes that's going to miss, right? You get a Quentin Nelson, you get a Pouncey brother. Like, there are really good players.
You wouldn't have taken Dickerson? Landon Dickerson, if the Niners were there at 37?
He was coming off an ACL.
I know. There are multiple offensive linemen coming off. Walker Little from Stanford drafted in the second round.
But remember, the Niners did that several years ago with Balky, with the dude from Clemson who was supposed to be a first-round pick. And I just think you consistently get really good guards and centers. I think Alex Mack was a high pick, too. Again, I'm not saying that those guys, to me, more often they're going to be outliers, because I bet if we did a study... And we did when I was in the NFL. Every team does this because you do. Like, this is what we talk about, the draft being a marketplace. How many starters in the NFL right now at guard and center are fourth through seventh round pick and undrafted free agents? The percentages would be really, really high. And that, to me, is like the value. Well, you go, what positions can I not get in the fourth and seventh? Well, you're usually not going to get, like, sweet defensive linemen in the sixth. So you probably invest those guys in the first and second. Or if you get a sweet wide receiver, probably in the second and third is really good value. To me, when you kind of force that pick, like, I don't know. And again, I'm not claiming, like, I didn't know that much about Aaron Banks when they took him, but I just didn't love it. The philosophy on taking the guy that high, when I think there were question marks.
About whether he fits your style.
Yeah. So, you just, because... Here's the thing with an offensive lineman, unlike a wide receiver. You know, actually, I was watching the Jets-Giants replay, and it's like, coming in motion, Dante Pettis. Like, Pettis, when you're just a bust at wide receiver and you don't live up to you can still play, right? Ted Ginn never lived up to being the seventh pick. Dude had like a 15-year career. I mean,
yeah, but Dante Pettis having Ted Ginn's career at this point.
100%. I wasn't comparing the two guys, but my point is, you could look up, and Dante Pettis plays 9 years in the NFL. It's not inconceivable. Like, you could just never live up to being a second-round pick. You should have been, like, a seventh-round pick. But you can just play a lot at wide receiver. It is very, very difficult to stink at line as an offensive lineman. Even a defensive line, I can, like, throw you in for a couple plays to give. You just will never play. Remember Eric Flowers, who was, like, the 10th pick, and they tried, and then everyone's like, we can't even throw this guy out there. You're going to get someone killed.
How about Josh Garnett?
Jonathan Martin. I'm not trying to jump the gun here. There's a lot of Stanford guys. I'm not trying to jump the gun because it's preseason. But my point is, offensive lineman, when you do take a guy high, he has to be good. Because if he's not, he just will not play. You know? It's the thing with quarterbacks. Like, ultimately, if you miss on the quarterback, the guy's useless to you.
Yeah, it's also hard to make your receiver, if you overdraft a receiver, but he turns out to be your third best receiver. Right, by the end, Dante Pettis didn't get cut because he wasn't the Niners' second best receiver. He got cut because he wasn't their fifth best receiver.
It was terrible.
But on the offensive line, you can't be the you're the second best center or you're the third best guard. Like, you're useless. I can't put you on the field. You're the third best receiver and you punt return or you cover on special teams. I can still use you as a second rounder, right?
100%.
But if you're the third best guard, I can't use you because I got 1.5 guards.
I had planned this game, but I was just looking at some of the guys they passed on.
It's hard to even tell because, who knows?
Who'd they pass on before the season starts? That's a great game. You talking about in the second round?
Well, the two guys that went back-to-back just a couple picks later.
You want Dwayne Eskridge or Rondale Moore?
Yeah, you could have got both those two guys. What pick was Aaron Banks?
48.
So I wonder if they would have taken Asante Samuel Jr.
What's up with Creed Humphrey? Oh, Asante Samuel Jr., that would have been a good pick. How about Dylan Raddins, the guy from North Dakota State? Why not take that guy? What's he doing? Where's he on Tennessee's depth chart?
It's hard to do it with offensive line.
Hold on, let me do a quick search. It'll be like, Raddins having a great camp.
It is much easier to do with skill guys by week three when a guy has 4 touchdowns. You're like, we should have taken him!
According to A to Z Sports Nashville, John, Dylan Raddins could be the team's most impactful rookie this year.
That's not good.
He worked with former left tackle Joe Staley this offseason to improve his strength.
Staley tweets about him a lot, or Instagrams about him. Now, he's a tackle. The Niners didn't need a tackle.
Vrabel. Right? Raddins' performance was encouraging. Had some really good plays. Some not as good. Pad level too high.
But he's a right tackle.
He's a tackle.
So, yeah. Could have moved him to guard. It happens.
He may not play week one against the Cardinals, but expect him to have a substantial role. All right, we won't shove him into the starting lineup quite yet. But that's something to watch for, John. That's definitely something to watch for. Yeah. I thought there was another Banks. No, okay, we got some other comments that we'll circle back to. John, before we go on, let's tell the people about RexMD.com/ham. Should Viagra really cost $90? No. And that's what RexMD says. They say no. They say RexMD's FDA-approved generic Viagra starts at $2 per tablet and is delivered discreetly to your door.
Guy, here's how it works. You just fill out a brief survey. If appropriate, you can try a starter pack of generic Viagra. Full disclosure, Haberman and Middlecoff got a little delivery within the last month. Have not used it yet, but we got a little generic Viagra. It's very easy, very discreet, and that's something that I know can make people uncomfortable. This is a very private issue, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want people to know. Well, they send it to you. You can't tell what's in the box. There's no copay. It's cheap. There's no doctor office visits, and your shipping is free. If you're looking for generic Viagra, RexMD has made the process fast, easy, and affordable.
RexMD.com has helped over 100,000 men get generic Viagra from the comfort of home. So don't wait another minute. RexMD is now offering the starter packs of generic Viagra for new customers. You visit RexMD.com/ham right now to get started. That's Rex, RexMD.com/ham.
Oh, the places ground beef from ButcherBox can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about ButcherBox for years. High quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high quality seafood as well that you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham, code HAM. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app, because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on 2 or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between.
It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game. And I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping.
I got to tell you about the Eufy video lock. I've spent years trying to upgrade my security system at the house with one of those big name companies that, I'll be honest, sucks. I got the Eufy video lock and it's an automatic improvement. That's Eufy, E-U-F-Y, video lock. It's easy to install, just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. And now I've got the keyless entry. I always go for walks. I don't want to take keys. I hate stuff in my pockets. I go without the keys. The fingerprint recognition lets me in less than 1 second. There's no monthly fees. You have your recordings locally. You never have to pay for storage. I love knowing that doorbell ring was just a delivery. I don't have to jump up and get it. Or if I'm out of town, I can look. I can see the landing in front of the door and tell the neighbor, hey, do you mind swinging by and picking up something? I love the 3-in-1 video smart lock from Eufy, and you will too. So search Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door. The chat's been bringing this up. Pretty wild. I mean, it's funny. I was just talking to somebody about Rosen this morning just because I was thinking about that Texas A&M comeback where they were down 44-10. Rosen got cut by the Niners on Tuesday. And you said this on Saturday night. Like, it felt like Kyle Shanahan was just giving him a bunch of snaps so that he could try and show another NFL team that he was worth bringing to camp.
Wish the Eagles would have done that with me before they fired me. Like, give me a look to
how would that
teams.
Have worked, you think?
No, I'm glad they didn't. But
just give other teams a heads up?
Yeah, or just like throw some of my sweet evaluations out there.
Here's his top five evaluations.
Kyle did that on purpose. To give the guy tape, they knew they were going to cut him because there are three cuts this year. There's one to 85. There's one next week on Tuesday, I think to 70. And then there's obviously the final one to 53. They already had 85 guys. This Josh Rosen was 84. They are both basically admitting, we don't even need this guy. He's just useless. And it's kind of crazy because when you're out there, he does not look good. He looks slow-footed. He's not accurate. If you didn't know he was Josh Rosen and he was like some of those names that you read off to me the other night about some of the random quarterbacks that are in the NFL, and holy shit, there's a lot of random quarterbacks in the NFL. If his name was like, James Williamson from McNeese State, who's just, that might be a guy somewhere playing like the Tennessee Titans third guy, you would not have known, right? If he just had a random name and he was from McNeese State or Weber State or you wouldn't, he did not stand out like, Hey guys, that was the 10th pick. We know that, but if we didn't, you would never think that.
Yeah. There were so many things that contributed to that with him. A, he started as a true freshman at UCLA and was good. Like, he played as a true freshman and it was like, oh my God, this guy is, how soon till he could be the number one pick in the draft? On top of that, Jim Mora Jr. was his coach. I guess he's not really junior, but young Jim Mora was his coach, right? which is just a guy that a lot of people know. NFL people, just if you're a casual NFL fan, you know who Jim Mora is. So you had an easy kind of conduit to just consuming Rosen. They played in some huge games against Texas. He had the big comeback later against A&M. But he came in as a major recruit.
He played on star-studded teams too because they weren't that good, but Mora was recruiting and like Miles Jacks and Kenny Clark's, like they had star players on their team.
Absolutely. And so he was a big deal just right away because he was an instant impact player at UCLA, which UCLA is, I think, very much a kind of a sleeping giant when it comes to college football.
Oh, I know.
And then he gets, obviously, he becomes really polarizing. He starts doing interviews, and he's got a hot tub in the dorm room, and he starts talking about how he's going to change the world, and there's all these quotes about it. He became a really polarizing draft prospect. There was so much that led to why everyone was so aware of him. Remember all that stuff?
He had a little, like, would you say DeChambeau's a good comp? Just a little out there, and he was just pissing people off?
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. But unlike DeChambeau, like college football, you don't like DeChambeau talks even more than Rosen did, right?
Yeah.
But he did there was a big SI article in which he talked about, I don't remember exactly what it was, like making life better for his teammates somehow when it came to making money. I don't quite remember exactly what the deal was. But he was just a polarizing guy. And then, you know, obviously he gets drafted very high, and then he's polarizing because he gets traded right away. It's pretty crazy. I mean, you go from And here's the other thing. There were so many reasons why all the hype was legit. I mean, his arm was huge. He played a bunch of college football games.
He's like 6'5". I mean, he's big.
Yep.
He's just not any good. And I think sometimes this is the hard part, and we say this all the time about the NFL. There is no such thing as can't miss. There's no such thing as high floor. The high floor does not exist. You have no clue. You really don't. Because if I told you Josh Rosen would not work in the NFL, you'd be like, you know, he's going to be minimum a decade-long backup. I mean, he's cut August 17th. I would put $100 right now. He might not be on a team. I would guess he's probably not on a team week one, right? And I mean, that's obviously practice squad. He's not going to be on a roster. But that's pretty nuts. He wasn't drafted in 2012. I mean, this is crazy. Now, I tweeted this out on a positive note. He did get $17.5 million. Like when you're drafted in the first round, your 4-year contract is guaranteed. He did get a lot of money to then suck. So there are elements where, and I know it's an easy thing online, and people always say like players are always getting fucked. That's not always true. Every player who's drafted, the Solomon Thomases and Cleveland Farrells, they actually robbed the team. You know, I mean, it's the union protects these players because they get all this guaranteed money in the first round before you've ever proven anything. So for every Josh Allen or Mahomes, and those guys always end up making so much money anyway, there are a lot of guys.
Jamal Adams and George Kittle, who still got rich, but
there are a ton of crappy players.
Yeah. He's going to end up starting less games.
He's on the high end of crappy, though. I mean, at least some busts play like 4 years, right?
He's going to end up starting fewer games than Jamarcus Russell did. Now, Jamarcus was in one place. He started a full year, right? Josh has never... I guess Josh started a full year as a rookie.
Kind of, but I don't think he... Remember, Bradford came out in a couple games.
Yeah, but he started 13 games.
Yeah.
It's 55%, 11 touchdowns, 14 picks. Jamarcus Russell started 25 games in his career. Now, it was 3 years and then out. This is year three for Rosen. He started 16 games in his career. I'd be hard pressed. How does he get 10 more starts? How does he pass that number from Jamarcus? How is he in the league? I mean, it's just... Now, I don't think that people in the chat were asking about, this means Sudfeld's going to be the backup. You and I have talked about this. I don't think the Niners are going to carry 3 quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll keep Sudfeld around. I guess they could put him on practice squad, right? But
you know, back to the Jamarcus thing, Jamarcus got out of the league, right? Because he was clearly addicted to the whatever it's called when you mix
the Slurpee, the purple.
Yeah.
What was it?
The purple drink. And he was lazy and he didn't give a shit. Josh Rosen, to me, it's understandable when it's like that guy did not give a shit. He was a bad guy.
Exactly.
Like, okay. That happens a lot.
Right.
When you actually are trying, like Josh Rosen is trying, he's putting his best foot forward. He's attempting to do everything possible. He just sucks. Like, Josh, I think most people, I don't, you know, you and me, I wouldn't say we're super locked in on Jamarcus, but he had physical tools. It was just laziness. He didn't try. He didn't care. Josh Rosen is literally out of the league because he's terrible. Like, just bad. Just bad.
We watched him in practice, and it was clear we didn't expect him to make the team.
But if you had to win a game tomorrow, like, every team in the league would take, like, a Nick Mullins over him. And it just shows you, and life's a lot like this, like, the past doesn't mean that much after a while. So, like, you know, what I did, and he'll be able to talk about his college career forever, but it's just completely irrelevant right now. And it's actually happened to a lot of guys that, like, you and me grew up, you know, it happened to Leinart. You know, like, once you get 2 or 3 years in, it just does not matter that you were one of the best players in college 3 or 4 years ago. It's just completely irrelevant. And I remember we used to always talk about this in, like, heated debates. And Lewis Riddick was always adamant, like, why do we should erase the draft grade after, like, 2 years of tape.
Yeah.
Why does it matter?
It's like a preseason top 25 poll.
It's just hard to shake. You're like, God, that guy went in the first, you know? Well, it's like, yeah, he's been starting now for 3 years, and you wouldn't pay for this guy to be around.
Or I had a first-round grade on him. I'm sure that gets said. Or we had a first-round grade on him.
It's human nature. You should get deleted from the system after 3 years. What round grade did we have on him? Who cares? What is his current grade, how he's played in the sport, right?
Yep. Look at this. This is the 2015 QB class. Rosen was the 16th overall player in that 24/7 rankings. The quarterback class, I actually don't have. I cut off who the number one quarterback that year was. I don't remember. Rosen was the number two quarterback in that class. Blake Barnett, Kyler Murray, Brandon Wimbush, Ricky Town, Brady White, Travis Johnson. And Juwan Jennings was actually the 9th-ranked quarterback in the 2015 class going to Tennessee as a dual threat, who, by the way, has looked pretty good.
You said Kyle Shanahan. Was 3?
Huh?
Kyler was 3?
I realized I'm not sharing the screen with you. Kyler was 4. Blake Barnett was 3.
Do you think if Kyler had been
6'4"? That was Kyler going to A&M, not Kyler going to
Oklahoma. Do you think if Kyler had been 6'3", he'd be 1? It's probably hard to put a guy, you know, at 5'9", number one. It actually speaks volumes that he's 4 at that height. Like, what? Remember Monday Night Football last year? They were going over stats. Never lost a game in high school. And Cliff even said he's the most heralded player in all his years around Texas football that he's ever seen. But he's so small. Like, to me, he'd probably be a no-brainer. I remember Blake Barnett.
Jarrett Stidham was number one, by the way.
Auburn?
Committed to, he went to Baylor first.
Oh, yeah, and then he transferred. Was Blake Barnett go to Alabama?
Alabama, yeah.
Yeah, it just shows you, man. It's high school is a little like the NFL. You see some of these lists. Now, some years you look at the top like 20 players. You're like, God, that's 7 first rounders.
For sure.
You
know?
So it's kid or miss.
His class was not one of those lists.
No.
I'm just scrolling through the quarterbacks to see if there's anybody like way at the bottom that made it. But I'm not seeing it.
I'd imagine Jake Browning wasn't a huge recruit.
Jake Browning was 11. He was. Remember Folsom was like a powerhouse? Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Now, how many offers did he have?
Was a powerhouse. I think they still are.
He got Alabama offered him.
Okay. Sorry.
Oklahoma State offered him. Michigan did not offer him.
Again, that was unfair of me because I saw a clip of him. He's with the Vikings, right? See, he's not in the NFL. Like some scrub. Yeah. Yeah, he's not some scrub.
That was just that not, was just an
I'm
arm.
Just,
you're
I'm
an
just
arm,
not a
arm
weak. Strength. I'm just not a weak arm guy.
You're an arm strength. The arm strengthist.
Yeah, but I don't like
such
like
an arm Jake, strengthist.
But I don't like Jake Eason. Like, there's certain guys I don't like.
Ravi says, "Can Juwan Jennings throw?" There's QB3. Juwan Jennings. I think Juwan Jennings is making the team.
He probably is.
Jennings
can play special teams.
You get Simba Webster will play some special teams, and then you got Sherfield and Sanu, and there's your squad, John.
Must roll.
I mean,
the reality is, I think we make a big deal, and fans do. I don't think care as much, but the media talks about it a lot. Obviously, the team cares, but the media hammers on it. Like, does it really matter who your 5th and 6th wide receiver are?
There will be a moment where it matters, but yeah.
No, like in a game, but really, your third wide receiver has some games. It's not often like your fifth wide receiver is impacting your team that much. Like, think about the good teams. It's Julio, it's A.J. Brown, it's D.K. Metcalf, it's Tyler
Lockett. Once upon a time, like what Kendrick Bourne probably started it, right? Kendrick Bourne, Kyle talked about it the other day, wasn't supposed to make the team, but there were some injuries. I think Jalen Hurd was one of them. Does that make sense?
But we only really started talking about Kendrick Bourne when it was Trent Taylor got injured.
Oh, Trent Taylor, yeah.
Is just he became the third wide receiver. That's when he mattered.
But he had to make the team as like the last guy first before he could become the third guy.
Yeah, but you don't end up impacting until you're the third guy. So once you get to the third guy,
Middlecoff doesn't notice, but you do something the coach notices when you're the fifth guy to make you the third guy.
No, that's my point. The team really values it, but for us that are just watching the team, any team in the league. I would say past about your fourth guy, it's just the guy's not playing that much, especially now with tight ends and the running backs.
Let's not forget Mohamed Sanu, John. Do you know what his career completion attempt number is?
Well, he's got a big arm. He throws left-handed.
7 of 8 with 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, he's
so he's thrown more touchdowns than Jamal Adams has interceptions? Is that right?
Yeah, well, Jamal Adams has 2 interceptions. I've definitely been on the couch. 2 career interceptions, yeah. He's not a ball guy. Yeah, he's a tackle.
Not a ball guy. It's all about ball.
That's not his thing. That's why he was really like, guy, he creeped his way up. He was like, I want to be known as a linebacker D lineman. And then he gets paid. He's like, I'm a safety. Well, it's like,
Fred Warner's got more picks last week in practice.
I think he led the team in sacks. That's the thing with Jamal Adams. He's like this sweet player, but he's really not like, he's not like Earl Thomas or Ed Reed high pointing the ball with his fucking legs looking like Michael Jordan. 2 career picks. You know, he's not Mr. Ballhawk. He's paid to tackle. So it's...
Which also matters. That's the person with the ball.
But wouldn't you say the value they got him at? They gave him 22 million less than Amari Cooper.
Yes.
I still compare everything to Amari Cooper.
38 guarantee. Huh? Everyone to Amari Cooper.
Yeah, just because he got 5 years, $100 million, 60 guaranteed. And like the Kittles and the Jamal Adams, who are like borderline all pros, they don't even come close to that number. I mean, Amari's in a different stratosphere than
Amari's number is so easy to because it's 160.
It's just it's very clean, but Jamal Adams would have done, you know, cartwheels to get that 60. Hell, he would have done anything for 50. They gave him 38. I thought they were arguing over like $50, $60 million.
I did too.
That's what they were arguing over?
Now, in the end, he'll still make his 70. Probably, because they traded so much for him, they're not cutting him after 3 years.
Yeah, and he's a really good player, but he's just, he to me is, I bet if you went to like every NFL front office, and just like the player personnel guy and his couple scouts, he's a guy where you're arguing over a lot on just other teams. Yeah. Like there's going to be a guy that likes him, and they're going to be a guy that like, fuck that guy. Like, and what I mean, like everyone acknowledges he's a good tackler, but just, is that the guy that you'd want to invest in? Is it worth 2 first-round picks and a second? Is it worth, you know, basically dedicating 3 years' worth of salary to? And I think you can argue. I like his style, but he does have a fatal flaw in a passing league.
Yeah, and it costs a lot. If you're going to like, you don't get to sample. They had to buy a lot.
Yeah, luck. But the one thing, he can really pass rush. Like, he is an elite pass rusher. You just put him near the line of scrimmage, and he can chase the quarterback. He's really good at that. You know, so it's like I can live with just his in the box play because he can get me like 6-7 sacks.
Blue Nose.
He gets hurt sneaky a lot too. Yeah. Though that'd make me a little nervous.
Tebow available. That's true. Tebow was available. Good for Tebow giving it a shot, John, at tight end. That's what I have to say about that. I respect the effort. That's all. I got no hate. Although the second video, the blocking video that came out was damning.
I don't think they had a choice, did they?
I don't know. You think? Oh, you think the videos on social media is why he got cut?
I mean, I think it would have been hard to shake the videos. Because there are players, like, people are acting like it's just Tim Tebow making blocks like that. I bet if I just start texting around, like,
send me your worst
ugliest
tape.
Plays you've seen. I mean, there were probably some ugly plays throughout the league on fourth down. He was a guy that went viral. I think that would be hard to shake. I like Troy Aikman a lot. Did you see his tweet today?
No.
He tweeted basically like, the love and respect that Urban has for Tebow don't think for a second that he didn't help establish a culture in that locker room. And it's like, Troy, you know way more about NFL locker rooms than me, but how can a guy playing like that establish any fucking culture with any player worth their salt? I'm not saying they don't respect him as a guy or whatever, but as a football player, you sit there and watch film all day long. So if you're watching this and T-Bill's like trying to implement the urban, you know, philosophies in the locker room, it's like, messenger, is it working out there?
Yeah, to your point, too.
What was the tweet? Maybe I
No. There's another line that changes it a little bit, but still, I think, albeit a short tenure, don't discount the impact Tebow had in helping Urban with his locker room culture. And knowing the respect Urban has for Tebow, his release sends a message to the team that this is business. I think there's probably some truth in that last line. But again, if that's the film out there, then, you know, you're not fooling the team. Like, he could have stayed longer. If the team doesn't think he belonged
at all. For example, let's say I'm like a third round pick on the team and I'm trying really hard. I'm watching that tape. I go, well, that's not me. I mean, every guy on this team is way better. His tape was so bad, guy. It means business. If you play like that, any guy's getting cut.
Maybe the players all watched it and were like, see, football is hard. And Tebow's proven it. Blocking is hard.
It is very difficult. No one argued that, like, everyone making fun of him on Twitter beside NFL players, and a lot of NFL players did, but any just random dude with a blue check mark that works for The Athletic or whatever, they would get thrown to the sideline, including you, me, every single person watching or listening to this. No one's arguing that. I think the point was just as simple as it was really bad. And the thing with Tebow is he's not small, right? There is a level. I'd have to look at his size, but I would imagine he's very similar in size to Juszczyk, like 6'2.5", probably 235, right? Just similar body types, jacked, but not small, but not overly big. There's just an element of, do you have an, you know, on a golf cart, when you play some of these public courses and you go to the wrong place and the governor stops you, or you're coming down the hill and the golf cart just won't let you go fast, and you're like, oh my God, this is insane.
When you're near like the zone where you're not allowed to be. Beam, 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 turn around.
It drives you nuts. Well, when you take the governor off of a golf cart, it never does that. And the best football players, Jamal Adams is a good example, but I'd say most just guys that play in the league don't have a governor when it comes to contact at physical positions, because you can't. And he not only did he have a governor, it was like he wanted no part of it. You couldn't play tight end and be that level.
Well, it was, you know, you're wearing your Alabama hat. The speech that Alex Smith gave to Alabama football talking about Blake Costanzo and how he was just, he had no fear. And that's what made him great on the field. That's what you're talking. He had no governor, for sure. Sway says, forget Tebow and just sign Jordan Matthews if you want to convert a tight end. That's another guy. I think he might make the team. The practices we've been at, Jordan Matthews makes plays.
I'm always fascinated by skinny guys that have to put on weight as someone who just, I had a bad weekend last weekend. I felt like I gained like 10 pounds. If I have a bad 3 or 4 days, I could add 20 pounds in a week without hesitation. These skinny guys, their dedication to have to gain weight, I am so jealous. I watched some of his press conference. He said he ate meals at 5:30, 8:30, 11:30, 2:30, 5:30, and then had a snack at 8:30. He was on like this crazy lifting regimen with the University of Louisville. I'm like, bro, I could have gained 18 pounds. I mean, how fast would it take you to gain 18 pounds? I think I could do it pretty easily.
If I really put my mind to it, I think
I could do it within
two and a half weeks.
I could do it fast for sure.
I think I've got what it takes.
I know I have what it takes. I'm just always blown back by the ability for these guys to not gain weight. I'm so jealous of skinny people. I really am. They have such a huge advantage, or just people with good metabolisms in life.
Fred McGriff. It's a hell of a problem to have.
Saw him on TV last night. He looks fantastic.
Looks 35.
Fred McGriff came in the big leagues in like 86. Guy looks like you and I will never, in our greatest moment, look as good as he does in 2021. And granted, he's a borderline baseball Hall of Famer, but still.
His waist size is the same.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be 34 max. It helps when Fred's a taller guy. Taller people naturally wear their weight better.
Fred McGriff hit 36 home runs in 1989. And his waist size is smaller than 36.
Yeah, just...
Fred McGriff, 7 home runs shy of 500.
I know. People, I guess he was a kind of a Hall of Fame snub.
He's a guy that there's a lot of debate on, yeah. Was he an all-time great?
One thing Fred said, I was watching MLB Network last night, and this is what you feel like, you know? He's like, I've slept well every night of my life because I know I never did anything illegal to hit those. Kind of like a shot.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are starting to let some of these, the big poppy type guys in. Right. These were real. This is all fucking genetics, fellas.
5 All-Star games in 19 years.
He also played, it's hard to know when steroids really came in. People felt like the late 90s. But yeah. So, I mean, he was a home run hitter in an era when everyone was taking the juice.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's, you know, he's got several, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 30 home run seasons in a row from 88 to 93. But he's also got some 22 home run years. I mean, he came up at 22, 23, you know, 19, 27 homers, 31, 22, 37.
NFL player, he won a championship, was obviously in a lot of playoff games. Feels like he'd get in, right, with those numbers.
Yeah. 19 years in the league?
Yeah.
Yeah. 1901, 02. Yeah. I think you're right.
What did he play till? He was like 40?
Mm-hmm.
Well, those genetics.
86-04.
Yeah, I wouldn't have quit either. Long-ass career.
86-04. Incredible. So, what else you got? That's Raiders? Vaccination sensation? They're going to be vaccinating. You can get up, go get a soda and a shot at Allegiant Stadium this year. And if you vaccinate at the state, you can show up without a vaccination at Allegiant, get a shot, put on a mask, go to the game. Like, just make it a game time decision. You know, I wasn't going to get it, but how am I going to get in the black hole?
You know, I could go place my bet for Sunday night game down at the MGM right at, yeah, I think they clearly are going to have a casino at the stadium, I would imagine. I texted you. I think this one's pretty easy. I think these teams that are indoor want no part, and the NFL, I would imagine, is leading the charge of this. Visuals of masks in the stadium. It's uncomfortable for people to watch. No one wants to see it. No one wants to wear the mask anymore. For those of us that got the shot, to not wear a mask ever again. That was the deal I thought we were signing up for. And to me, I know this is a polarizing topic, but it's a pretty easy one. For these indoor stadiums. So we don't have to fucking have sitting there with a mask, and the TV product is better when people are just looking normal. I've noticed just watching these games on TV now, that just a baseball game, it's very refreshing to watch. Sometimes Summer League, which I've actually watched a decent amount of Summer League, I'm like, and I get it. Like, I don't know if LeBron James is wearing a mask because he wants to wear a mask. I think it's because Vegas, they had these new rules, but it does just look, it feels different.
Yeah, I also think probably on a basic level, the NFL doesn't, they just don't want anything. Having people at their stadium is a big deal, not only for the stadium experience, for the amount of money they make, but it makes the television product better to have fans in the stands. And anything that puts that at risk, they have every incentive to kind of snuff out.
Because the Saints did it too, like a week ago, for an indoor stadium. So yeah, maybe
the Steelers
it's the
are
NFL
outdoor.
Kind of leading the
you have to wear it inside of the Steelers game. You have to wear it inside of an Eagles game. Is that right?
What does that even mean? You know, like going to the concourse? Is that technically
yeah,
inside?
Like when you're walking through, you know, you're in the elevator or something like that. It doesn't affect us up in the nosebleeds or field level. But, you know, when you're walking through the stadium, I think is when that applies.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, I just saw the LA, you know, we'll see with SoFi. I bet they're going to mask mandate. It wouldn't shock me because they're an indoor stadium, right? That it's just easy come out, mandate
vaccination
cards. Is
that roof retractable?
That's a good question. I think so, but I don't know. You been there?
I have not been to SoFi.
Is the roof retractable at the black hole?
Raiders? Yeah. I thought black- it was.
I think
yeah,
because
the Raiders bring grass in.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
SoFi Stadium. I have to tell you this. Somebody
puts no dirt on the Raiders Stadium in Vegas.
What do you mean?
You know how they used to have dirt on the infield?
Oh, just like a throwback, like an anniversary game.
Yeah.
I do have to say this. Bad. Somebody Somebody asked this on the YouTube chat today, Grandpa Pat Bewley. Does Zach Wilson really suck? Oops, I meant to put it up, but it went away. So I went back and watched some Jets on Tuesday. Zach Wilson, A, looks like physically like he fits on the field. His arm works. Like, his arm does translate, I think. Now, he sprays the ball a little bit, like guy in the flat, just basic throws, like at his feet or over his head. But his arm does translate. Like, you remember watching Baker, who could actually turn out to be a really good quarterback, and you went, just his arm, like he needs his whole body. Zach Wilson can play the little arm flip game, and the ball does zip. Like, Tua, so what's funny, today, Tuesday, I watched the Dolphins, and then I watched the Jets back-to-back. Do they play each other? Maybe that's why I watched them back-to-back.
No, the Dolphins play the Bears.
Oh, so I watched Fields as well.
Yeah.
Who had to run. You know, he did have to run a trick play to score his touchdown, but he made some other throws. Like, that's the thing, is people are like, you know, other than the Trey Lance touchdown, Trey Lance had the Ayuk drop. He had the throw to Charlie Werner. Fields had a couple nice plays where he rolls out, hits somebody on the move that were more impressive than the tight end, than the Y throwback trick play that anyone could have. Mohamed Sanu completes that pass. Well, of course. But Tua's arm,
not great.
Compared
Zach Wilson,
to like,
Zach
arm,
Wilson has Zach, Zach Wilson arm, has big time arm talent.
Yeah,
I mean, Zach Wilson's arm
talent.
Zach,
I worried that. Oh no, I know. But I worried that Zach would look a little small on an NFL field. The game, he didn't, at least in the first preseason game, and his arm just translated. Not that I had a question about his arm translating, but it did translate. Like, he looked comfortable. One thing is really clear. It's just the preseason, but this is what the offense does. They are gonna. I do. My prediction was that he's gonna lead the league in picks. He might not, because they might not throw the ball a ton with him. They just might pound the rock. They're just going to run and run and run and then play action and throws into the flat and then some crossers.
They're going to stink. I mean, I think they're going to be really bad. Both those teams might not be very good, the Jets and the Giants. The Bears, like, the one thing that stands out to me about Fields, he's got a really good arm.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's got a legit powerful arm. When he runs, he's so fast. I can't imagine being in a desperate situation. I get it with the Niners. I don't necessarily agree, but I understand it. They aren't desperate. That one, to me, is such an easy one. The kid's played so much, too. Thing with Trey Lance, he hasn't played. Justin Fields has been a starter for multiple years at Ohio State. What are we waiting for?
Dalton looked like Dalton, from what I saw.
He's terrible.
James asked, what happened to Trey's spiral? It seemed on film at North Dakota State he had a tighter spiral. Yes, I agree with that.
He doesn't have a tight spiral.
No, but at North Dakota State, it seemed like there are a lot of spirals. Indoors.
He doesn't. Yeah, I mean, Peyton Manning didn't throw many
spirals.
Turn
the AC
either.
Off. You know, he might settle in a little bit. Maybe that comes from, maybe he's trying to, although the throw was on the money. Tua does throw a nice touch pass, John.
Well, he throws a beautiful touch pass. The lobber, the left-handed lobber. It looks like a sand wedge. Whoop.
Gesicki's
I just don't know if he... Yeah, that guy's pretty good. They actually have some weapons. Waddle had a sweet punt return. Like, their team's pretty interesting.
Lynn Bowden had four catches. Or three catches. Oh,
is
I think
that the guy...
I think it was like four catches and 47 yards.
Didn't Johnny trade him about a week into training camp after drafting him in the third round? I've never seen that before. I don't think you ever will again. Do you?
I know.
Third round pick, not making
it
like the second
preseason. It was unprecedented. I thought this guy has to. He's going to flame out in 10 minutes with the Dolphins. How could he not? And he's hung around.
Yeah, he's on their team.
All right. On that note, we'll be back Thursday. Don't forget to get your mailbag in. Keep sending us your pictures of you and your Tito's. We appreciate that. Try the transfusion if you want to go the ginger beer, the grape juice, the lime juice, and the Tito's, or whatever you're drinking. Send us the pictures, DM them to us on Instagram or Twitter, or throw them to us on Facebook. You don't even have to DM them. Just tag them. We love seeing them, and it makes the world a better place, John.
And if you guys need a loan, upstart.com/AM. We'll get yourself a loan.
Yeah, and get in the DraftKings League. Get the
download the app. Promo code AM.
All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging with us, and we'll have some big stuff coming as the week goes on. Stay tuned.
Godspeed, people.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.